I am often reminded how quickly time goes by, doesn't it? You know, we've already celebrated Christmas. As one person said, we have Christ every day, right? Every day should be like a Christmas. When we also think about our New Year's coming up, you know, the Jews celebrate their New Year's in the middle of September. And so people have different times, different places that they bring in the New Year. Well, it's interesting here. We're looking at John chapter 15 a couple weeks ago. We left off in John chapter 14, and we looked at, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? And we looked at some areas there that came to us that was, you know, the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go, and then also we found that the Holy Spirit intercede with that child, with Mary, at the birth of Christ, then also with the baptism of Jesus in Mark, and then we see the Holy Spirit was not a force, but it has a mind and a will and emotion, and then as well as at number six, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts that we can use. God has given us in one area, there's like five or six different gifts that God has given us, apparently, to Romans chapter 12. But some of us have a stronger gift in some areas than in others. So we looked at all that last week, week before last. And so Jesus is here with his disciples. And it's interesting, from John chapter 13 through 17, we have the upper room discourse. What happens here is that you had, it already started in the upper room, where you had Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. He's teaching on humility. Then we went on from there, and we looked at many different topics, many different sermons since then. You know, we realized that there was going to be somebody who was going to betray Christ, and how we dealt with betrayal. And then, of course, there were other areas that we looked at. Last week was about Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to give you a comforter. Now, at this time, they were in the upper room. And if they had known, and on hindsight, that the Holy Spirit was going to come in Acts chapter 2, kind of would have made sense when you think about it. You know, you have disciples heard about this paraclete, this Holy Spirit that was going to come. He's going to send a comforter, because Jesus says, look, I'm going to leave you. My hour is coming. He was talking about what hour is that? He's referring to his death on the cross. The disciples were perplexed. They didn't know who this person who was going to betray them. They didn't even figure out, as we talked about that too. Judas thought, well, he was just going to go out and get some things that the disciples needed, or also too, they were going to help with giving some extra food that they had, and Judas was doing that. So they had no idea really exactly what Christ is talking about. But where we left off last week, that the Holy Spirit was coming. It's interesting, in the upper room, that's where they were when the Holy Spirit came and, you know, touched the disciples. So, with this being said, Jesus had finished talking to them in the upper room. Now, some people believe whether or not they were still in the upper room or not. I believe that when Jesus said in verse 31, that the world may know what I love the Father, and the Father gave me a commandment, so do I. Arise, let us go from here. So we see in John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus says, arise, let's go. It's time to go. Isn't it wonderful that we can walk and talk with Jesus wherever we go? I visited a church last Sunday, and the doctrine was good. The preaching was good. I was thankful. And, you know, I met the pastor there, and I was just really, I felt on fire for the Lord. Because my spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, our spirit bears witness with one another's spirit if we are children of God. So I was just very thankful for that. And the title of this message is, I am the vine. Without this substance, the branch cannot live apart from the main stem. And so anybody who knows vineyards, okay, in Israel at this time, there were two very good economies going on for the Israelites. One was what? Olive oil. Olives, okay? Mount of Olives. There had a lot of olive trees, okay? Number two, there were a lot of vineyards, okay? So I'm thinking, all right, Jesus probably left with his disciples, went outside the upper room, down the steps, went in through Jerusalem. They bypassed the temple. Now, just for historians, what they tell us is that in the courtroom, in the courtyard there in the temple, which divided the holy place of God, okay, the temple of God, the main structure of God, is that you had different courtyards. Well, what divided that between the courtyards and the temple itself, they had bronze doors, and above these bronze doors, they had an inscription such as a vine with grapes, and it was in embossed in gold. Now I'm asking myself, well, where did they get this from? The idea of the vine and the grapes gives us to go back to Psalms chapter 80. And we see that Psalms chapter 80, verses 8 through 15. Now remember, you have to keep in mind that God is the vine. And who are the branches? They're Israel. Okay? So in Psalms chapter 80, verses 8 through 19, it says, "You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it." This is talking about Israel. God has done this. "And caused it to take deep root and filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow and the mighty cedars with its burrows. She went out from her burrows to the sea." And that's the Mediterranean Sea. "And her branches to the river." That was the Euphrates River. So it's giving the idea that Israel was planted by God. Remember in Joshua's time, he went in with Caleb and the Israelites after they wandered for 40 years in the desert. They conquered the cities there in Joshua's time. There was like 31, 33 cities they conquered. And they established a nation of Israel. So, "Why have you broken down her hedges so that that all who pass by the way will pluck her fruit?" Now, it's referring to here Israel's rebellion. We look at, coming right back here, we're going to be going through some scripture verses, and Jeremiah gives us an example. In Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, "Yet I have planted you as a noble vine," that's Israel, "a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" In other words, God had planted Israel in Joshua's time, and now it's turned apostate. It's turned sour like grapes. The idea of sour grapes has the idea of sin. You go to the store, you buy grapes, you're a fruit inspector. You look and you want to see what's right. I would prefer raisins, which are dried grapes, to sour grapes, okay? By the way, raisins are good for you too, you know, has lots of nutrients in it. So you have here, going back, because of apostasy, God is saying, okay, because of this, I had judged you. And this is talking about here how we need to stay close to God. So if we don't, we get in trouble. It says here, "Why have you broken down her hedges?" Back in Psalms 81, so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit. The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beasts of the field devour it, referring to Israel. Look what happened to the nations that came around Israel and harassed Israel. You know, if we're walking out of God's will, not doing what's right, our hearts are not right, our minds are not right with God, God allows problems sometimes, I'm saying sometimes, to come in to correct us, to get us get to going back to the vine. The branches, we cannot subside. We cannot continue without the source of God through the Holy Spirit and His Word. So it says here, God is saying, look, return, we beseech you, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see and visit this vine. And they were praying, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you have made strong for yourself, it is burned with fire. Vineyards, okay, the most wasted thing are branches that have just dried up or are useless. What they would do in vineyards, they would literally, there'd be a couple ways they would hold up grapevines. One, they would plant rocks under these grapes, okay, so they bring them up, lay them upon the rocks, or two, they would have trellises. They have, and you know what they are. If you've ever, anybody who's into horticulture or knows about planting this. And so the grapes would be above the ground. And has the idea here of they could get blight, they could get diseases, they could get insects into it. God wants us to stay away from those things. When we come close to the world, I tell you what, getting back after having to look at where I was down in Tennessee, where I'm at here in Wisconsin, I was just like, man, I've seen so much of the world because I've traveled through four different states, met a lot of people, witnessed to a lot of people, got back. Sometimes vacations don't feel like a vacation. It feels like you're going. And it just showed me how much the world can consume us if we're not careful. How much we need of Christ. And what a relief it is when we can witness for Christ and we feel refreshed. We feel like there is a purpose for being here and going to a church. We can be refreshed. But Israel became apostate. Churches become apostate because they walk away, become worldly. They start doing things in the flesh. And not least, the devil has ways of luring us away from God's will, God's path. That's what happened to Israel this time. Jesus is saying, I'm saying all this to tell you that. Jesus is saying to his disciples, stay close to me. We'll look at this here in a minute. As this is kind of a long introduction, but it says, the vineyard which is in your right hand has been planted, and the branch which is made strong in yourself, it is burned with fire and is cut down, they perish. And rebuke of the countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your own, of your right hand, upon the Son of Man who you made strong in yourself. In other words, saying here in Psalms 80 that go to God, go to Him. He can strengthen you. If you repent, if you turn around, if you do what is right, then we'll not turn back from you. He will not revive us, and He will call upon your name. Restore us, Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine that we may be saved. In other words, the psalmist is saying that you may be glorified. We're going to glorify God. We've got to turn and repent from what we have. We have holidays that come and go every year. We have family that we visit every year. Life continues on, but these things come to pass. But are we following the Lord? And that's got to be the main mark in our life. People will mark us by what they see in us. And they'll say, you know, that person is a Christian. It's not like, oh, you know, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. Excuse me. I've had people tell, oh, I love Jesus. But, you know, I don't believe in everything that He did. When I met one lady down in Kentucky, oh, you know, I believe you can come to God in all different ways, and yet she was upset because she was hurt by some Christians. You know, some people just find the most convenient way to get away from God. And then they come back with you with all kinds of excuses. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, this is salvation. You know, I let people talk for 5, 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, some people just go on and talk, you know, and you're just like, okay, now let me show you who Jesus is. Because I think some people just cover up Christ because they don't want to hear it. And then you can share the gospel with them. So it's easy to understand if you let people tell you everything about them. You just have to listen. So, verse 1 in chapter 15. Now I'm getting around to this. Okay. So Israel knew the background. Disciples knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They understood from the temple, as they're walking by the temple, going out to Gethsemane, which is about a half an hour walk from the upper room, what they call the upper room in Jerusalem. And you can do that today if you're to visit Jerusalem. Okay? So disciples had time to walk. And Jesus says, hey, I've got a story to tell you. I have something to share with you. He says, I am the vine, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the door to the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says here, I am the true vine. It's a metaphor, okay? So, the Israelites knew this. The disciples knew this, that the Israelites were supposed to be an evangelistic tool to show Christ, just like the church is today. But they became very narrow-minded, very conceited, and decided, no, this is just for me. I don't have to share this with these heathen nations. What they didn't realize is became conceited and proud, and therefore God closed his mercy and his grace after a while, after they apostatized, and God brought in these other nations because Israel, like some churches today, were acting just like the pagans were. And you see that today. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, the Father is the one that comes along who prunes out what is not needed. You know, today we have some things in our life that we all need to have pruned out. And I think the very first thing the Lord prunes out of my life, and I shared this with Sunday school, not in the exact same way, but in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, talking about churches of Ephesus. They were doing everything right. They were doing everything. It says in verse 2, Revelation chapter 2, I know your works, your labor, and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those that say they are apostles and are not, and I found them liars, and you have preserved, and I have and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You haven't lost it, you just left it. And I have to ask myself every day as a pastor, and I'm just getting to the nitty-gritty here, what is my motive for being here? Is it because I love the people? Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And Peter was just like taken back, you know I love you, Lord. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all that was said between Peter and the Lord, but Peter got the message. Peter went out and did what the Lord told him to. But what is our motive today? You know, people change their motives before why they come to church. I thank God that we have some very good, motivated people. You're a blessing. And we have guest speakers that come, and they say, you know, people are just great. I love coming here. I'm not supposed to tell you that, but they tell me. I love coming here because this is my family, my people. And that's how it should be. We are a family, a spiritual family, and we have our physical family that we meet at Christmas and the holidays and whenever. So because you have left your first love, remember therefore from whence you have fallen, Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. So we have to be careful we don't leave that first love, not lose it, but we leave it. And that's the first sign of drifting away from the Lord. Thank God that we come right back and we get things right with God. Lord, what's my motive? Okay, got it right. This is family of God, we're one in Christ, let's move on and let's get God's work done because we love you, Lord, to put you first. So, vine dresser comes along, says, okay, you're starting to walk away from your love, okay? We need to deal with that. We need to prune that out. Oh, that hurts. That hurts. Yeah, sometimes we have to sacrifice. Sometimes we have to realign ourselves with the straight and narrow. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it will bear much more fruit. Every person knows here in this room who likes gardening, who's done things, okay, with a plant, like with fruit trees, you prune away, you look for the insects. So you might have to go out and buy some pesticide or whatever. If you don't like doing that, that's fine. But if you want to bear more fruit, you have to cut away more branches so you can get healthier fruit. And the best time to do it is what? Not when it comes out in flowers. No, you do it before then, right between the change of the weather. In the 50s and 60s, you never do it when it's freezing. You do it right then. I like to do it in the fall time. You get that done out of the way, and then the tree comes stronger. And that's the way it should be in our lives. We should be constantly letting God prune back our lives. And I like what it says here. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. You know, that word abide, these 11 verses happens 10 times. That means to come up against, to commune with somebody. You've heard that expression, I'm really tight with this person. I can share, not necessarily your intimacies, but I can share what's on my mind. Okay? Who we're really intimate with is Jesus Christ. Lord, I can be intimate with you. Abide, remain. Stick close to the Lord. Because this world is passing away. Like we talked about in Sunday school there too, about the churches, you know. You have those things that will just pass away. God wants us to enjoy and enjoy our salvation. But remember, we put our treasures up in heaven where moth and dust does not corrupt. I think about New Year's coming up. I'll say this quickly here. So, you know, people make all kinds of resolutions. And they're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't wait for New Year's to do that. I do it right now. Lord, I need to get things right. You got to prune me out a little bit? That's fine. Lord's saying, look, if you're going to let the disease spread in you and the sin and the sour grapes, you heard the expression sour grapes? Well, that person has got sour grapes, you know. Well, you deal with it. You cut it out. Sin. Somebody said, well, sin's not a disease. I got that. But when you're using it as an allegory, it's different. You cut out the worms and the things that are eating you alive. That's sin. And it's a constant process. And God will give us the grace to do it. So it says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm reminded of Joseph, who, remember, he's his daddy's favorite. The brothers became jealous. Joseph had a loose mouth, got in trouble because he tooted his horn too much. And what happened was his brothers were like, okay, we're done. We're going to sell you into slavery. And, you know, Joseph started out as a slave, but then he ended up being his prime minister. How did he do that? Because he abided in God. As we abide in the Savior. Joseph, it wasn't just that. Remember, Joseph was told by that one man in prison, hey, Joseph, you interpret this dream, you get me out. This is great. You know, I'll remember you. Remember, he left Joseph there in prison. This life owes us nothing. My dad told me that when I was younger. He says, kid, slight means nothing. People don't owe you anything. People don't owe you anything. You've got to go out there and do something with your life, make something of it. And thank God we have many of you, all of you here, made something of your lives. Be thankful you toot your horn about Jesus Christ. Second time around for Joseph, he wasn't being left in prison for 7 years. And he had Potiphar's wife. Potiphar, he trusted Joseph, right-hand man. The wife became jealous and decided to do some really bad things to Joseph. Joseph, what did he do? He just ran. He ran. But what happened to Joseph? He ended up right back in prison for 7 years. So the poor man went through a lot, all because he was following the Lord. Did he give up? No. Thank God we're faithful here today. We abide in Christ. So we have the position in verse 1, the pruning in verses 2 and 3. And then in verses 4 through 6, there's the production. It says, abide in me, and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So that being said, verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Remember, Jesus is the vine. We are just branches, but he loves us and he cares about us. And he has given us an opportunity where we can bear much fruit. Much fruit. And I'm going to get to that in a minute, what it means to bear much fruit. Some people today think that they're not saved because they don't bear fruit. We realize it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is love. And out of God's love comes the fruits of the Spirit. It says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, it's sad today, but we see a lot of this where people want to hear about Jesus, but they don't want to do anything about Jesus. I tell people, look, you got the Word of God. Now do something. They don't want to because there's no faith. They rather hear it and be deceived, like it says in James, be not deceived, my brother. Be not just a looker, but a doer in the Word. It's like looking into a glass. We have mirrors today, and that's fine. They're not there for vanity purposes, but they're there every once in a while. Ladies like to make their hair, make themselves look nice. Guys just want to make sure they shave themselves in the morning. So you have a good purpose for it. God's word is like a reflection, a mirror to us. So the disciples were getting this, but there are those who don't want Christ. And God has one choice, and that's a place called hell. And hell was created for Satan and his angels, but also was also created for those who said, no, I don't want God. I don't need God. I don't want to hear about God. And all we can do is be a witness in this dark world. We can let our light shine. So what God's only choice is to burn that. Those who not accept Christ will be what? The second death is not, their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. And the only thing good for vineyard branches that aren't any good or vines that aren't any good is good for kindling. That's all they're good for, to start out a fire. So if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father may be glorified. So you abide in Christ. God gives us the desires of our heart. We looked at that last week. If we delight ourselves in him. And 14, it says this. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. If you desire yourself in his work, in his will, he will in turn give you the desires of your heart. put him first. That is a great resolution for anybody who's into the New Year's craze. Okay? It's wonderful to be thankful. Yeah, New Year's is coming. Wonderful. But thank God we were born twice. Once physically and one up to the spirit. And we died once. On the other hand, we are born once, okay, physically, but we die twice if we don't know Christ as a Savior. We die from what? We die physically, but then also there's the second death, which is hell. For us as Christians, we have eternal life. Jesus says, enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your salvation this year, folks. I am going to try to do the best I can, but I can't do it unless I abide in Christ. And it says here, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you be my disciples. What is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about Jesus saying, I'm going to send a comforter to you. Somebody who will abide next to you. Not only will you have the comforter dwelling within you, but you're also abiding in Christ. We looked at a couple of weeks ago that you have even the Father. Because Jesus is doing what the Father told him to do. Jesus is saying, hey, you have the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says, for the Spirit of is love. So out of this one fruit, if you look at a bunch of bananas, okay, they're all bananas, right? But each one has its own stem. It's connected to the tree, to the branch. And out of each of these, out of love, out of agape love, out of God's love, it says this, out of this love is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Such there is no law. Isn't that wonderful? There is no law against that. We abide in Christ because the law cannot touch us. Christ fulfilled the law by dying on the cross for our sins. We have that fruit to bear. That's our fruit to bear, is God's love. Jesus gave that commandment a few weeks ago. I said in John chapter 14, I gave you a new commandment that you love one another as I loved you. It's different because we have to love the same way. It's tough. What gets in the way is the flesh. If you walk in spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of what? The flesh. The flesh has no room, should have no room in our lives. If we walk in love, there'll be no choice but to walk in love. And people will know us by our fruit. So, with that being said, going back to John chapter 15. So we looked at the production here. And we're looking at the promises in verse 9. It says here, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. Love is mentioned 5 times in these verses, verse 9. So we abide in his love. Love. So it makes all the difference. It's not about me. It's not even about what I think, what I want. It's about if I'm abiding in him, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. I'm going to love things, love people. You know, you love people and you don't love people with things. You love people for who they are. And then, verse 11 says, these things have I spoken to you that my love may remain in you and that your joy may be full. God wants us to be obedient. If we're going to remain in God's love and have that fruit of joy, then we have to be obedient. Christ is saying, look, just as it is with the vineyards out there, just as it is the way it produces fruit, you cannot abide except without me. You need me to help you. And so we need to be connected to that vine. But also Jesus said this in Matthew chapter Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come into sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits will you know them. I'm saying this is that Jesus said this a while back before they were up in the upper room. When Jesus in Matthew 7 and John chapter 14, 15, that was quite a bit of time in between those two. I'm sure they picked up on that. You know, God wants us to be fruit inspectors. God wants us to know, hey, are they right doctrinally? Are they right with our spirit? Bears witness with one another? And the words, do they say? Do they make sense to us? So, that being said, God wants us to abide in Him. So, how do we become more fruitful? Number one, we need to abide in Christ. 10 times it's mentioned. We need to abide in Him. Remain next to Him. Commune next to Him. Number two, we need to be lifted up in Christ. Just as rocks are used or trellises are used to lift up those branches from the vine to bear good fruit, it keeps us away from blight and sin and insects. So we need to keep ourselves lifted up, encourage one another. And during the holidays, you should be. Number three, when we are pruned in Christ, that means we need to trim back. We need to trim back so we can grow more. We need to get the anger out of our lives. We need to get the selfishness, the pride, the resentment. Remember what Galatians chapter 5, as I'm closing here, remember, they're the works of the flesh before the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because Paul is saying, look, these are the things you need to deal with. Somebody said to me years ago, they said, Pastor, I don't understand. I still deal with my problems with the flesh. All those things mentioned in Matthew chapter 5. Am I really saved? I said, yes, as long as you are in the continual, remember, we're past, we're saved, we're continually being saved. In the future, we'll be saved. But I said, you are crucifying the flesh. Those sins will always be there in us as sinners. And let me encourage you, Christ has given us a way out so we can walk in the Spirit so much easier. But He understands we live in a cursed world. We're all sinners. We all need Jesus. But because of that, the Lord's asking us, what do we need to cut out in our lives? Because it's going to be people, and we don't hear, it's going to be a constant thing every day. And we have to really stop and think, Lord, I am so tired. I am tired. And I really need your help. God's saying, look, I can help you. Look up. Your salvation draweth nigh. You know, the year went by quickly, didn't it, as I'm closing. It's gone by, you know, it's not the ending. It's not the beginning. Life goes on, right? As one person said, comes through the door and says, oh, I'm just taking this life one day at a time. You know, I was like, oh, that's sweet. I needed to hear that. So it doesn't change anything. It's just the calendar that changes. You know, life goes on. People don't change. They're still people. But they need Christ. Our families need Christ. And at this time, I want us to realize that apart from that vine, we can do nothing. So abide with Him, be lifted up in Him, and let Him prune out those things that what? In obedience, that our joy may be what? Full. It hurts. Life hurts. But we don't have to dwell on that, do we? Because we have the grace and the mercy and the peace in Jesus Christ and the love. So let's close in prayer, and we're going to have our music come up here. Lord, we just come to you now in prayer, and we just ask you, Lord, that we will continue to abide in you, and that we will continue to trust you, Lord, for helping us through our days that we have. And just pray that we'll continue to lift each other up and continue, Lord, to help us to understand when you prune us coming up next year, which is tomorrow. And with that being said, Lord, we thank you for your death, your burial, resurrection. Thank you for our salvation. If there's somebody online, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, your life goes on, yes, but you never know when it's going to stop. You never know when something can happen. And there are people today who are doing everything they can to stay away from you, Lord. Just pray that you open their eyes that they may see glimpses of truth that you have for them. Open their eyes, illumine them. Lord, we just ask you that you just be with us all. And thank you so much for your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.